And worldwide tonight, we are taking your phone calls with open lines. Lots going on this planet, and I want you to share your thoughts about them when you check in on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. My privilege to be with you, and of course, open line calls. But wow, what a week, huh? So many things going on. The situation with Iran is getting crazy, strange, and tense. Anything could happen there. Anything could happen. And, you know, they got the USS Cole out there now near the coast of Yemen. And the Cole was the same ship that had been bombed before. And a number of sailors died, and they were injured. And now they're there patrolling, trying to get these Houthi rebels, as they are called, trying to get them if they're in that area. They're trying to open up the shipping out there. It's a huge shipping area. And these rebels are out there trying to attack these ships and things like that. But just everything seems to be topsy-turvy. I mean, it was supposed to be nice, and the presidential transition was supposed to be smooth. And I just feel things are tense. I don't know. Maybe you feel that way, too. But let's go to the calls. Let's see what we've got. Eric in Indiana, truck driving out there. Welcome to the show. Hi, Eric. It's good to have you with us.
George!
There he is.
This is Eric, the mind control guy. How's everybody doing tonight?
Everything's fine. We keep you awake, or do you keep us awake?
A little of both, Eric. Yeah,
I think so.
A little of both, George. I was wondering, have you ever had any folks that are into the flat earth theory on?
Yes, we sure have. And they are pretty darn staunch about believing that the planet is flat.
Yeah, I've been reading a book lately by a feller by the name of Eric Dubai, and it's called The Flat Earth Conspiracy. And I'll tell you what, if you've never read that book...
It's compelling, isn't it?
Wow, yes it is. And I was kind of wondering, I couldn't call in the other night because that would have been twice in one night, and I know that's a no-no.
That's a violation.
Exactly. When Mr. Graham Hancock was on, and I was kind of wondering, I wonder if anybody's ever put into their head, because I know... Mr. Graham Hancock and Mr. David Hatchard Childress and a few others devote their entire lives to finding out our past. And I was wondering if somebody could possibly yourself, bring that up to them and ask
sure.
if they'd ever thought of investigating that.
Sure. Now, let me ask you, though. Do you think the planet's really flat?
I'll tell you what, George, there's a lot of things that just don't seem to make a whole lot of sense as far as the things that have propounded me since I was a little kid. You have this great big global Earth, and then you have all this water, and I'm like, why isn't the water falling off?
Gravity.
Gravity.
Gravity keeps it, and don't forget now, we've had pictures taken from the moon on the planet, and it's round. Mm-hmm. It's round.
Yeah, and so some of the things that would, to me, that would prove it one way or the other. Now, if the Earth is indeed flat, okay, now where I live in Indiana, I can look up any given night, and I can see the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper, providing that the moon's not blocking out the stars on
right.
a night.
On a nice, bright night.
And I'm thinking, well, if the folks in the Antarctic were down where they are, if they could look up and they could see the same sky that I am, that would kind of make you wonder, wouldn't it?
It sure would. It sure would. But my guess is that the planet's round, oval-shaped, not flat. Let's go to Mahan in Austin, Texas, wildcard line. One of our favorite cities. Hello, Mahan.
Norrie, how are you, sir?
Fine. How are you?
I'm fair to middling.
That's not bad.
No, it's not, is it?
Not at all. What's up? You've been on hold for a while.
Yes, I've been wanting to talk to you. You had a great guest on there just a minute ago, Rush. Is his name Rush?
Russ. Russ Dizdar.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. He's like the lady said, I agree with her, did it to it, that... he was on the mark.
He sure was.
I was telling your screener earlier, my last name is Mahan.
Oh, so that's what he's got. I thought that was the first name.
Yeah, well, down here, most of us go down by our last names, and that's why I was calling you Nori.
All right, that's fine.
Mr. George. And so I looked up Mahan, and I found out it was in the Bible. I looked it up a little bit more, and then there's a it came up Master Mahan.
Really?
On Wikipedia.
Like some expert in some trade or something?
No, it if you could see it, it goes into that. It comes from Cain and Abel, and Cain titled himself Master Mahan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's not a good situation.
Yeah, but you're not like that. You're not like Cain.
No. And that's what I'm saying. I'm like, no, I'm not claiming that side, but. Fortunately, if I'm related or no, I'm not related to Cain, but he titled himself Master Mahan.
Interesting last name, though.
It is. And conceived here in Austin and born in Italy, Italian citizen, baptized in the Roman Catholic Church. It goes on. But I wanted to say is that the other night, last night, you had something about the Big Bang Theory.
Again, another theory that I just don't get.
It comes from an octave.
Explain.
It comes from an octave, man, that, like when you just said gravity, there's a push that keeps the water upon the earth. There's a push, and when the positive and the negative push together, it became the Big Bang in an octave vibration that went across the universe.
What I don't get is, what's your first name, by the way? Do you ever go by it?
David.
David, all right. Do you use that much?
There's too many damn Davids.
But there's only one, Mahan.
You got that right, buddy.
But I just don't get the fact that this happened from nothing. I just don't get it.
How's the water stay on the earth?
Well, yeah, but that's gravity. I can understand that, a force that does that. But when, you know, I want to know what happened before time. And, you know, they say time began when the universe began. I just don't comprehend that. But I
explain to people about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, now that's where that comes in, because when that happens, then it starts to make sense. Anyways, we take your texts and your tweets. Tom's got a couple of them for us.
We're going to go with a text from April in New York.
What a fast night, by the way.
Very fast. It's almost over already.
Slow it down.
I want to ask you something real quick, though, because I forgot to ask you. Have you ever heard that God is so powerful that we don't understand a lot of things?
Well, there's no doubt about that.
So, because I've always wondered this, and I forget to talk to you about it. So, why are you so surprised that you don't understand how the world was created?
Because my mind is practical, and I need to think in terms of stages, and I just don't get what nothingness is.
I don't either, but you're not supposed to.
I can't comprehend nothing.
It's weird, huh?
Yeah.
So, this is from a text from April in New York. What changes to NASA would you make if you became president, and do you think Trump will make those changes?
I don't know if Trump will make those changes, quite frankly, but if I were in the seat and had to make some changes, I would make NASA more of a promotable vehicle for the country, something that we could have fun and excitement when we talked about space and missions. And I would really try to explore a little quicker than what they're doing. I would get us to Mars, not by 2030, but by 2025. Definitely going back to the moon. But NASA needs to be exciting again. I remember
it's
in my
exciting.
Days,
You're
we
right.
all wanted to be astronauts when we were kids, Tom. And we talked about NASA and space. It was exciting. Kids don't talk about NASA anymore.
It's just not glitzy.
Yeah, it's not there. They need to make that a mission. They really do.
They need a marketing department.
Right. What else do we have?
We're going to look for a text from Jason in Utah. I heard you talking about people giving other people parking tickets. How is that going to work?
Well, it's an app. And technically what will happen is that you will sign up for the app. And then if you see a car illegally parked, they will notify the jurisdiction to come out and give the ticket, and then they get a cut of the action for doing that. And if you send the picture of the car and the license plate, so they'll know that's the car, the ticket person will come out, give the ticket. The company, the app company, then gets a commission and gives you a piece of it. So you literally, I don't know how much you could make, but you literally could live on that as a full-time job.
I could see fights starting, people seeing you take your picture of their car.
And let me ask you this, because technology is doing this. What kind of a person would take a picture of a person illegally parked and turn them in?
A person that could use $50.
However, let me ask you another question. Do you get upset when you see somebody parked in the middle of two parking spaces where they take up two spots, basically, by parking in the middle like that? Does that bother you?
It bothers me. I wouldn't say upset, but I always say to myself, where's a cop when you need one?
That bothers me. And what about parking in a handicapped and there's no license or no placard on the car?
I can't stand that. If you don't have enough respect for a person that's handicapped, I can't stand
that. So if you had the app, would you take a picture of the car and license and turn it in?
I go to a market.
Not for the commission, but just to get the other
person. Just because of the principle. I go to a market that has special parking spaces for veterans.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I've not seen that.
Yeah, I don't think too many markets do it.
I've not seen that.
But I when I looked
Tell
at
me
people,
where I get my parking space. All right, thanks. And now you're going to do two every half hour for us tonight. Okay, good. All right, let's go next to Jim in Riverside, California. Welcome to the program, Jim.
Hey, how's it going, George?
Great. Thank you.
Hey, you know, I was listening to your guest tonight, and I really liked him, and I appreciated how powerful a man he was.
He sure is. He's strong to do this.
Well, I can only imagine.
My gosh.
You know, I wanted to bring up a point. Many people are looking towards the end times as being a time of Satan or a time of his day or the time of
demise,
the great destruction, the great tribulation.
Yes.
But the truth is what's coming is the day of the Lord. And the Bible mentions this many, many times in the Old Testament. And what's coming is destruction from the Almighty. And he's going to bring destruction to this planet. And when I hear about the Nibiru thing and what's going on with that, I find this all very timely in what God is planning to do. And I might also mention that everybody who's looking for Jesus, you better read the scriptures, because Elijah must come first. And Jesus himself said, Elijah is coming and will restore everything.
In what form will it happen? Will we know this? Will it be obvious?
Oh, he will be obvious. He's going to be a great prophet. God is going to raise up the last and greatest of all the prophets. And the Bible is explicit when it shows that this prophet will be so powerful, he is going to be made king of Israel. And the proof is they try to make Jesus king. When they perceived him to be the prophet...
That's what did him in, right?
Way before the time in Jerusalem, he was in Jerusalem before that, the first time he was there. And they perceived that he was a prophet and tried to seize him by force to make him king. So I know that the true devout Jews know this.
Yeah, well, didn't they put the thorns on his head because they kept saying,
they mock him
as the king of the Jews, right?
Yeah. That's right, to the king of the Jews. And I'm saying that this great prophet who is empowered by the spirit of Elijah and by the spirit of the Lord is going to become king of Israel. He's going to reestablish the temple. He's going to rebuild the temple. And all of this is recorded in the Bible. I've studied this for 45 years. I've dedicated my life to it. I've even written a book. God has given me a book of pure scripture arranged in a prophetic order. And I'm still waiting for the wherewithal to publish it. But when its time is right, it'll come. But all I'm saying is this, George, it's not the Great Tribulation or the Antichrist that's coming. It's the prophet and the day of the Lord.
Now, here's a question for you.
That's what's coming.
If we're doing this program by that time, and I'm sure we will, and this individual is on the planet, would you be able to, just by knowledge alone, call the show and say, he's here right now, There he is. That's who it is. And he's doing what he has to do. Would you be able to do that?
He's here right now.
He is? Where is he?
He's here right now.
But where?
That's all I can say to you right now. And when my day is fully come, you'll know.
You'll tell us?
Oh, you'll know.
All right. All right. Cornelius in Louisiana is with us. I call him Corny. Hi, Corny.
Yeah. What's up, George and Tommy and all the rest of the gang? Well, I tell you, George, you can get the greatest callers and listeners and guests in the whole wide world.
Oh, my gosh. We do. We do. I mean, I got to tell you an interesting story. We had a guest on last night, and we were talking about his work and his book on science, and it shot up to number one on Amazon in astronomy. And he was so excited. He was telling Lisa, our executive producer, and it's an incredible program that supports so many things. And I just think the world of everybody who listens to this show, Cornelius. I really do.
Yeah, George, what I wanted to hear, I'm a God, guns, and gold man, and a Bible, bullets, and beans man, and everybody just needs to get ready and come to Mardi Gras for the last time. But I'm a predicting the Patriots going to win over those dirty birds. So
hey, does Tommy know how to get a hold of you?
Oh, yeah, you know Tommy knows.
Because he invited you down to New Orleans. I want to tape you saying that one day.
Oh, okay.
Okay? And I just want to be able to play it whenever I want to play it. I'm gonna drive Danny, my board engineer, crazy. I'm gonna say play Corny, and it'll pop even when you're not on. I just may play it.
Oh Lord! Hey, and I heard somebody say my name. This guy, he always listens to me, and he was teasing me. I guess it was Monday or Tuesday night he called in, but I wanted to talk to Uri Geller from Israel. Boy, that was a great...
Wow. He got over 1,000 emails from people whose dead watches or clocks or appliances started to work again. And, gosh, I got about 120 emails on that.
But, George, I just want to thank you. Like I said, you know the end times are here, and that guy Russ, he's right. But this guy that just was behind me, I mean in front of me, The Antichrist is coming first.
You got that.
Come after all that. But I appreciate you, George. God bless you and yours. And
all right. You keep listening, my friend. Listen to this, Danny. Turn on Tom's mic for a second. All right, Tom, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to let you hear this real quick.
Come on, Tom.
I
got to
tell everybody I'm the God, guns, and gold man, the Bible, bullets, and beans, man. We need to get ready.
There he is. And... we're going to come back in a moment. Hey, don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, if you would. And I'm going to come back in a moment. We've got another hour and a half of open lines next. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you worldwide. And by the way, we have hit around 615 stations now across North America, which includes Canada, which is absolutely remarkable. And radio stays strong for us, folks. We've got the digital applications and everything else, but these strong radio stations are our backbone. And thank you for listening to us. We really appreciate it. Let's go back to the phones. We shall pick it up by going to Harry in Portland, Oregon, west of the Rockies. Harry, thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question that I wished I would have been able to ask your guest.
Uh-huh.
I have a comment on your flat earth thing while I was with
sure.
you. The question I would have liked to have asked was if your guest had thought that this kind of hypnotic chanting that they do during these protests has anything to do with any conditioning.
Ah, that is a good question. I can't answer it for you, obviously, but... we'll try to get him back on eventually, and I'll ask him that. But that makes a lot of sense.
Now, the comment on the flat Earth thing is, if the Earth was flat, you would think that when you looked out into space, you would see some other planet that was possibly flat. And all I see are round planets.
Bingo. That's right.
The only thing that comes close to that would be if you've seen the rings on Saturn. But that's made up of particles.
That's right.
And the Earth isn't made up of particles like that. I mean, they are particles, but they're a lot more solid than the thing that you would see.
I would bet the ranch that Earth is round.
Yeah. And also, if you've gone up in an airplane, you know, you kind of see that curvature of the Earth. You don't even have to go all the way up. You see, like, those pictures that they did when they went to the moon.
Well, and I have yet not heard of anybody falling off the edge of the planet. Not yet, anyways. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We go next to Charles in Texas. Charles, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi.
Hey there.
I kind of had an interesting thought about this. Since y'all were dealing with sort of satanic issues earlier tonight, the thought between the religion of our money powers in mm-hmm. the world, and you know, sort of our central banking network of network of private central banks that sort of run the economies of the world, most of them, except some exceptions. But the I'm wondering sort of about the connection between those two things. I mean, kind of it seems to me I'm always kind of trying to promote the idea of some kind of alternative, the idea of more like national banks, kind of like Catherine Austin Sitt would often be promoting. Or Ellen Brown, I think, actually, Ellen Brown. And the idea of national banks instead of, private corporations are so-called central banks, like the Federal Reserve and stuff. And then the idea of guaranteed annual income, you know, why that actually would work.
You think it would?
The reason why it would work is because you get these, these economists, so for example, in Switzerland, when they tried to implement, they tried to have a vote on the issue of a guarantee of a, they call it universal basic income there, but the older name is guaranteed annual income, mm-hmm. and part of the reason why it would work is because, right at the moment, a lot of money that we spend, taxpayers spend money on what they're doing is they're actually paying. It's kind of like paying interest on loans that politicians made. The way the private central banks work is basically our treasury issues based upon our value. It issues bonds on us, and then those are bought by the the central bank, and how they buy them is they have open market. It's a very complicated thing. But anyway, how it works out is basically we're in debt to the bankers for the money that they issue. And
We're probably already in debt to them. What would you set the minimum wage, the guaranteed income at?
Well, you know, that's a funny thing because they've been talking about, everything from something that amounts to like $600 to, I think in Switzerland, it was something like, like 2,500 euros a month or something like that. So it kind of varies from one to the other. And it would be, how you would set it is based upon how much, because ultimately you can, after the Civil War in this country, we were able to issue currency directly from the treasury. We didn't have to go through like a private central bank.
Well, that would be an interesting take. Let me take a few more calls, but that's a different show all by itself. A guaranteed income. Of course, that doesn't mean that you are limited to that. I'm sure you could always make more. Tom, would you like a guaranteed income?
Yeah, it depends what it was, but yeah.
Maybe half of what you're making now?
No. But it's kind of guaranteed now, right?
Yeah, but who would it be guaranteed for?
The worker.
Well, that would be novel.
Mm-hmm. That would work. George, I have a tweet from None of Your Business. That's what they're called.
These names.
George, how does one become prepared if you live from payday to payday and a lot of people aren't even making it from payday to payday?
You have to save. Put a little bit aside. you know, don't overextend.
Yeah, well, many business has to do that. How about a tweet from Klonger? What do you think about the possibility that a global economic collapse could be sooner than expected?
Well, some of our experts say that. Didn't we just have a psychic on who thinks it's like right around the corner?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Actually, didn't he say 2 weeks or something?
A couple weeks, he said. Yeah. So that's another week to go.
Yeah, we're in that window.
You know what? If that happens, though, isn't that amazing how somebody like that would be able to pick that up?
We'd have to have him back right away.
We would.
Oh my gosh.
If he hits it, sure. Absolutely. Okay, thanks.
Doc. Okay.
Let's go next. We go to Vancouver, Canada. Robbie's with us on the international line. Hi, Rob. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you doing today?
Good, Rob. Thank you.
I'm glad I didn't have to go right behind Cornelius. I'm calling just to thank you for what you're doing, but a quick note on Yuri Geller.
Yeah.
He did a prior show with you quite a few years ago.
Yes.
And I have Seth Thomas pocket watch that was made in 1885.
Oh my gosh.
And, it was a gift that was given to me by a close person of a friend and family. And according to them, it hadn't worked since about the 1960s. And on that prior show that you did with Yuri Geller, the watch started to work.
Just out of the blue.
Out of the blue. I mean, they had taken, the prior owners had taken it, and the two watchsmiths that they took it to didn't want to tinker with it because of the age of it. And it wouldn't work. They tried to wind it.
They didn't have any parts for it and anything. Jeez.
Yeah. And then 6 months ago, it just stopped working. And I tried to wind it up. It didn't work. Now, about when the show started with Yuri Geller.
The one we just did?
Just the one you just did. And when he suggested for people to go get the watch, you know, go get whatever and get it ready, I went to get it. And I wound it up, and it started working even before he did anything. So I mean,
it's weird,
absolutely amazing.
I mean,
just before I called you, I went to grab it, and it's working amazingly.
That is something. I don't get it, other than he's got some kind of power, even though they tried to trick him.
The people who I inherited from, the person who gave it to me, I mean, they are speechless that, you know, this thing worked. They had it for 40, I guess maybe 50 years.
It's almost impossible.
Okay, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, but I wanted to call you, you know, just to give you a thanks for what you're doing.
Ah, my pleasure.
I've been a listener for 10 years, Coast Insider.
Okay, thank you.
And I do hear a lot of people calling thank you, but I just want to take it a step further. And I know for myself in my own personal life, you know, listening to your show over the years has inspired different thoughts, provoked, you know, directed me to read different things, think about the world in a different way. And I, you know, for me, it's really made my life better. And I think there's scores of people, you know, that are waiting for someone like you to come along, right? Someone who appreciates their, you know, their individual uniqueness. And I think many people will live a happier life merely because you took the time to share what you had to give. And I'm sure that in many respects, I think it's turned many lives around. So I don't know, you know, how, I shouldn't say I don't know, but whenever you started the path that's brought you to where the show is today.
I think that started when I was 11. Would you believe it? In terms of what I wanted to do.
You know, that is just, I think, been rooted in, and again, I want to, I mean, I think you know, people, I'm a believer in people need to be given, you know, I mean, I want to give people the, you know, the compliments that they need to or should be given. And just want to, you know, share, I think, the importance, the, you know, and love that you've given to so many people. And I guess maybe going back to that, you know, that it just rooted in, it must be, it, you know, I think it goes back to saying, it goes to being or saying about much about you, how good of a person you are, and that if it started back then, you know, they're just an incredible kernel of goodness.
Well, thank you. So, and for the record, just so everyone knows, we did not pay you to call.
No, you did not. No, maybe I'm in a sappy mood tonight. I don't know. I was listening to the show, and, you know, there was a caller earlier who had called in, and he had talked about his own problems, and then you had, you know, suggested an email, you know, to connect. And I've heard you do that many times, you know, where you've had people call in and they have, you know, come out and expressed, you know, serious concerns. And there's always fun callers, too.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, but there are serious callers, and, you know, and you've helped them, and I thought it finally clicked on me, and, you know, I just wanted to share.
Well, thank you.
You've helped my life. And I think and I just really wanted you to know that, and thank you very much.
Well, that's very kind of you, to be sure. And now I get some emails. Oh, boy, it's amazing. I got one a couple days ago loaded with letters that started with F. And every other word was that. And there was nothing this person could do to be happy. And, you know, you send one back saying, you know, get away, stop. And thank God we have the ability to block. But guess what? He popped up again with a different email. So those got blocked again, too. But, you know, there are some people out there that just aren't happy no matter what happens. And there's nothing you can do to get to them, to make them happy. There isn't. Let's go to Bruce out there in New York, east of the Rockies. Hey, Bruce, good morning to you, sir.
Yeah, hi, George. It's really funny. I wanted to get in when Russ was there, but by the time it's all through, it gets very funny and laughing with some of your guests, especially the guy when you have names. My first name means patience.
I love it.
Give you a good humor on it. Look up my last name, two syllables, Babcock, and you'll get a good laugh out of it.
You got it.
But I won't touch that one. And in terms of the guy with the Earth being flat, the best way to get the laws of physics is spin a bicycle tire and try to push against it. The force is perpendicular to the circular rotation.
Exactly.
And
well,
in terms
said.
Of God, has anybody ever really understood what black matter really is? In the Bible, it says God opened his hands and dark matter. Explain it.
I like
and there's a lot of things can go on there, but in terms of Russ, I wrote an email. Of course, I was laying on my back and didn't have the spell checker, so anyway. The danger of suggestion, after I went blind, I was sent to a psych ward only to stay away from the guy that was abusing my kids. He would call every time. And this psychologist made one simple suggestion. He said, if I touch your wrist, you'll flip up your hand. We got talking, and within 3 to 5 minutes, he touched my wrist, and I couldn't believe it. My hand flipped.
Huh.
The power of suggestion.
He programmed you.
So deep and so dangerous. And like I said in the email, games the kids play today. And
oh,
I had a
tenant
that was in my house downstairs, and all she talked about is slicing up people. And she's into satanic stuff. I had to get rid of her.
Oh, yeah. You don't need that.
No. And those children are growing up under that and under the influence. And in terms of the other guests about Elijah, yes, he comes first. But people don't realize it. Satan kills him.
Satan kills him?
The two witnesses in Jerusalem are Elijah and Moses. And on the third day, God restores life into him. And then Jesus comes. Because God told Lucifer, Satan, destroyer, whatever his name is, do not harm these people.
I want to do a show on the book of Revelation.
That's right. And it's all written there, but it's imagery. But the thing is, you don't need the name and address. You just have to know the season.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, we're going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget to email me at george@coasttocoastam.com anytime you want, because let me tell you, that email gets to me, and sometimes we don't get back to you, but you get to us.